You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Is grappling training necessary? Or do real men wrestle in pajamas? By the time Hoist Gracie used his jiu-jitsu skills to win the first Ultimate Fighting Championship in 1993, rocking the martial arts world in the process, I had already been teaching martial arts for 18 years and was not completely ignorant of grappling techniques. I could, at that point, competently apply a large number of joint locks and chokes in a number of positions, and could execute more than a few throws and takedowns as well. But my striking game was light years ahead of my grappling game. The truth is, though, at that time, my grappling game was non-existent. My slapdash accumulation of grappling techniques was no more a competent grappling game than a pile of bricks is a serviceable house. At the time, the striking martial arts utterly dominated the commercial market, as they had for decades. Many of my martial arts contemporaries at the time, comfortable in their perceived roles as experts on anything having to do with fighting, immediately and at high volume began to rationalize that despite the evidence presented by the dominance of the early days of mixed martial arts by grapplers, they had no need to put on a white belt and learn new skills. I spoke in an earlier podcast about the phenomenon of cognitive dissonance and the rationalizations people employ to deal with it. In these cases, the rationalizations my colleagues made ranged from, "My kicks will keep any grappler away," to, "I can stop any takedown attempt with my current skill set," to, "It's crazy to go to the ground in a street fight." While I agree that there are times you don't want to be on the ground, it's also true that, as the Rolling Stones so eloquently put it, you can't always get what you want. You can choose to believe these or other rationalizations, but if you fight enough times with few or no rules, whether in the cage or on the streets, you will end up on the ground. It's up to you whether or not you're prepared when you find yourself there. In my case, I decided that it was better to change my mind about more complete grappling training while I could still do something about it. I didn't want the moment that I changed my mind to occur while I was being sat on and pounded into protoplasm paste, or being choked into oblivion, perhaps before waking up wearing a dress. There is a cliche expression sometimes used by high-level practitioners of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu that goes, "My friend, the ground is an ocean, and I am a shark, and you do not even know how to swim." When I first heard this saying, I was struck by what I perceived as its arrogance. But after my first experience of grappling with a high-level BJJ practitioner, I had to admit that at least in my case, it was true. That was more than 20 years ago. Now, I hold a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu myself. I can only speak for myself when I say that it was well worth the time and effort. I'm equally comfortable now, either standing or on the ground. But just because I can fight on the ground doesn't mean that I must fight there or even want to fight there. I train to fight there because critical thinking and logic helped to open my eyes to the uncomfortable reality that gravity only works in one direction. Training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu did not create in me an uncontrollable urge to drag my opponents to the ground. My sense of self is not tied into what particular type of martial art I use in a given situation. The only sure way to avoid grappling is to avoid violence altogether. Good advice for us all. But if you want to be a competent fighter, you should spend some time training on the ground. Now, much of the fuss about this subject stems, in my opinion, from the tendency of the human brain to be strongly influenced by feelings of tribalism. We are social creatures, And since most of us no longer live in small villages, we fight a feeling of social isolation in a crowded world by forming ad hoc tribes. These tribes can include religious groups, political parties, fraternities, branches of the military, being fans of certain sports teams, and yes, being a practitioner of a martial arts style. Belonging to any such group usually includes a sense of collective pride, a feeling that we as a group share something special, and any criticism of the group, whether real or only perceived, is taken personally. Such feelings can get in the way of objectivity and critical thinking, once again leading the imperfect human brain down the rabbit hole of emotional rather than rational thinking. While there is much to be said for the benefits of socializing in the practice of a martial arts style, to go beyond that and slavishly chain your sense of ego and identity to one can be foolish and counterproductive. Of course you should be proud of your style. I'm sure it has taught you many very valuable things, and probably helped to make you a better person. Honor it as it deserves. But martial arts styles are developed by imperfect humans using their amazing but imperfect brains. As a result, no system of martial arts training is complete or infallible. When your safety or the safety of your loved ones is on the line, your first loyalty is to yourself and them. It's not a betrayal to your teacher or your style to look outside that style for more knowledge about fighting in the real world. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.